Hello everyone. It's 19th of October 2024, and you are joining for the 154th session of Mindfulness for Beginners. So I'd like to welcome all for the program. And first, let's welcome Venerable Omagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, who's joining all the way from Nisarnawane to conduct the session. And I would like to welcome everyone who's joined here today on Zoom and via Facebook Live as well. So we have a new topic for the day, and Swami Nansa will explain it during his talk. So in all our programs, we dedicate a special time to practice mindfulness. So in this program also, we start with a practical session. So without delaying the session further, I would welcome Venerable Dhamma Kusala Thero to do the practical session. Swami Nansa.
Thanks, Darindu. Hello, everyone. So I think we can take some time to do a mindful sitting session today. All of you can sit in a comfortable manner. Make sure that you are seated comfortably. Adjust your seat. Once you are balanced and comfortable, you can gently close your eyes and simply try to pay attention to the present moment. You are seated and you have your eyes closed. Notice what you feel in your body. Maybe you feel the breathing inside your body. Try to notice what becomes prominent. We try to bring our attention to the prominent sensation in our body. Maybe it is the breath touching your nostrils, or maybe it is the belly movement according to the breath. Or even some of you, it could be a vibration inside your body that you feel. Whatever it may be, we just simply bring our attention to that sensation, the bodily sensation, and try to stay with that sensation. Try to maintain your attention. Notice how the breath goes in. Notice how it comes out. Again, the breath goes in and it comes out. Time to time, your attention goes away with certain other things. Maybe the thoughts come and take your attention away. Maybe you start storytelling based on surrounding sounds. Sometimes pain, irritations appear in your body. Sometimes you feel sleepy. It's natural that you get distracted with these different objects. But after a while, you can realize that you have gotten lost and gently return your attention back to the breathing. Again, notice how the breath goes in, how it comes out. Time after time, we may get distracted, but we realize it and gently move our attention back to the breathing. This way we try to continue our mindfulness for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone. So that's our time to do a mindful sitting session today. Now you can open your eyes. This is just to give you an idea. Tarindu, with that you can take over.
Thank you, Swaminatha. I hope everyone practice mindfulness. And with that, I would once again like to invite Venerable Dhamma Kusala Thero to explain the topic for the day. Swaminatha, I think we have a new topic. I'll share the poster quickly.
Okay, everyone. So today we are moving forward with a fresh topic. And this one, it has a very nice analogy about drinking. And that analogy we can relate to our practice and the daily lives. Now, the poster, it reads, drink, but don't get drunk. That is the poster that was shared. And what's the analogy, the drinking analogy that is explained here? Now, let's say the seasoned drinkers, when they go to a party, what they do, right? If you are not experienced, then what you will do is that you will gulp down a few drinks, and soon you are so drunk, wasted, and maybe after a while you black out, right? Maybe only like 30-40 minutes of the party you can enjoy, then after that you can't even remember what happened, and next day you wake up with a hangover. That is if you are not used to drinking, if you don't know the proper way, right? But the seasoned drinkers, what they do is that they drink a little. They increase their blood alcohol levels as into a certain level, which is called tipsy, which is a certain level that they can, you know, feel the little high, but not so much drunk. And with that, what they do is they, after that, they try to sip drinks and try to maintain that level without making sure that it doesn't go over that certain level of blood alcohol, right? So that way they enjoy for many hours. They feel light. They feel like dancing. They feel like talking with other people, socializing. All those things come, right? So that type of a drinking habit, seasoned drinkers, they have. Okay? That tipsy level they try to maintain, and they are drinking, but they are not drunk. That type of a balance they maintain. With that balance, they try to enjoy the surrounding, enjoy the party. Okay? So that type of analogy we can take into today's topic. That is an analogy, just to give you an idea about it. Now, let's say even in our lives, we get drunk, not only with alcohol, but with many other things, we get drunk, right? For example, we have certain addictions, maybe social media addictions. That way we get drunk. Maybe gaming addictions, that way we get drunk. Some people, they have food addictions, that way they get drunk. Some people have certain other things, other ways of getting drunk. So this way, we do a variety of things in our lives. We spend so many hours on our phones using social media. Some people, they eat too much till they get sick in their bodies. Some people, they are addicted to other things like porn or sex addictions are also there, right? Some people, they need other people's company. Without other people, they can't survive. They need company of other people. They are addicted to that. So in various ways, we get drunk. The problem with these things is that we are spending so much time on them. We don't know our limit. And we end up wasting our life with these things. Maybe you can't educate yourself properly because of these addictions. Let's say early in life, especially young boys mainly, if they get addicted to certain things like drinking addictions, drug addictions, maybe sex addictions, porn addictions, that type of addictions, if they get addicted at a young age, maybe they will destroy their education. Along with that, they will destroy the good career that they were supposed to have, right? So that they spending too much time on them. They don't know their limit. That is the issue. Let's say you get addicted to food. And what happens is that you get sick from that very addiction. And at a young age, you start to suffer with certain illnesses, right? With that, you stop, eating, you can't go out, you can't enjoy, you have to take medicine every day. That way, maybe at midlife, they start suffering with these illnesses. What happened? They were enjoying food too much. They didn't know their limit, right? That type of addictions are there. Then let's say, appreciating other people's company too much. You need companions. You need other people in your life. All the time you need them. You spend so many hours with them. You can't live without them. Those type of addictions are also not good. Because one day you might have to face life alone. And when that day comes, you might not be ready. Right? So this way, not only drinking, of course our poster it has this drinking analogy, but not only drinking, there are many ways of getting drunk and spending so much money on them, spending so much time on them, and maybe even wasting your precious life with it, right? So this way, various ways are there. We don't know our limit. Not knowing our limit, we get wasted. We don't know how to balance our desires. We don't know how to balance these addictions. So that type of idea is given in today's topic. Right? So it says that you can drink, but you shouldn't get drunk. You can have all these variety of ways. You can have all these addictions, but know your limit. Know your limit. Make sure that you are not wasting your life with it. You can enjoy food, but know your limit. You can use social media or technology, but know your limit. You can enjoy other people's company, but make sure that you appreciate aloneness as well. Right? So that way, if we know the proper balance, if we can identify the proper balance, then that would be the very essence of enjoying the life that is given to us. Otherwise, what happens is we are not enjoying it properly. We don't know how to enjoy it. It's like the people who go to a party and within 30-40 minutes, they are blackout. Right? So they don't know what is happening. They don't get to enjoy. They don't get to talk to other people. They don't get to leave that party. Instead, next day, they wake up with a hangover. Right? So that type of a life, most people are living. They don't know their limit. So they get wasted with all those things, all those addictions. the today's topic, it says that you can enjoy all those things, but you should know your limit. That is the very idea given. Drink, but don't get drunk. Make sure that you understand your limit. Make sure that you balance that limit. That is the very idea. Similar to a seasoned drinker who will maintain the blood alcohol level at a certain tipsy level and keep enjoying that party, right? So that type of a seasoned drinker will give this analogy of drinking but not getting drunk. Same we can apply for our daily variety of activities. Food you can enjoy, but make sure that you know your limit. Social media, you can spend certain time, but make sure that you spend time with the family as well, right? Then other things, various other things, all those things, desires you can enjoy, but you have to make sure that you know the limit. You can enjoy certain things, you can enjoy a variety of things, but you have to make sure that you know your limit. Too much of anything is not good. That is the very idea. If you are asking for too much of anything, that is not a good sign. That is not a good sign. So that is indulging in these things. That is indulgence in your mind and body. That's not good. Right? So that type of a balancing act is highlighted in this topic. Somewhat deep. Maybe it is difficult for you to understand the idea given, especially with the drinking analogy. People get distracted. They start thinking that whether we are promoting drinking. No, it is just an analogy to show you the balancing act. You can enjoy these things. You can enjoy certain things in life, but you have to make sure that you are balancing it. You know the limit. While knowing the limit, you can enjoy it for many years. You can, you know, keep doing it, but you know the limit. That is the very idea. Similar to that party, that person gets to enjoy that party for a longer period than the inexperienced drinker who will get blackout within 40 minutes, 1 hour. Right? So that's the very idea. And let's try to see how we can relate this very idea into the practice. Now, whatever the things, if we are indulging in them, that is not good, right? What happens when we are indulging in these things? Usually our mind get lost in them. Let's say food addictions, if you have, then early from the morning till night, you keep thinking about food. Your mind is lost. Your mind is indulging in those thoughts, right? Let's say some people, they have porn addictions, sex addictions. Starting from the early morning till they fall asleep, their thoughts are circulating around those topics. The full day, they think about sex. Whatever the person they meet, they think about sex, right? So that type of indulging is there in their mind, which is not good, right? Whatever the desires, they are lost in them. They spend so many hours feeding that addiction, not in the body or not verbally, but even in their mind, they are spending so many hours feeding that very addiction, right? So, which is not good. Now, when it comes to mindfulness, the proper practice is that we realize that we are in these thoughts. We realize that we get repetitive thoughts about the food. We realize that we get repetitive thoughts about, you know, lustful thoughts. We realize that we get repetitive thoughts about other people in our mind, right? But among all these things, we realize it, and we recover our mind from these thoughts. That is the very idea of this practice. If you don't have a trained mind, if you don't train yourself, what will happen is this mind will keep on indulging in those thoughts. Again and again, the same thoughts are fed in your mind. And you don't have to be attentive for that. Whether you like it or not, whether you are attentive or not, this is happening in your mind. Early from the morning till you fall asleep, the mind is continuously at work. Even during the sleep, same addictions are fed. Right? One person was sharing an experience. That person woke up in the middle of the night and realized that his attention was with a certain family problem. In the middle of the night, he wakes up and realizes he was thinking this during his sleep. Even during those sleeping hours, we are feeding the same thoughts. And during the work hours, we are feeding the same thoughts. You might be working at the office. You might be typing. You might be doing your job. But still, in your mind, you are continuously feeding, energizing these thoughts. So that way, from, let's say, 24/7, not only while you are awake, even while you are asleep, you keep on feeding these thoughts. That is a mind that is not trained. That's the issue. When you don't know how to train your mind, when you don't have that experience, this happens. So no wonder we go and indulge in various things and destroy our life. We indulge ourselves in food and destroy our health. We indulge ourselves in drugs and destroy our life. We indulge ourselves in certain other addictions and destroy maybe the good thing that you had in your life. All right, so that way, we don't get to enjoy it properly. Instead, we end up frustrated. Instead, we end up destroying the good thing that we had. That is the mind that is not trained. So when it comes to mindfulness, most important idea, some people think it is concentration. When we ask them what is the meditation practice that we are doing, they try to say that it is concentration. They are saying, I try to maintain my attention with a single object. That is the practice that I am doing. Of course, it may come as a result of the practice. What is that? But that's not the practice. When it comes to mindfulness, we say, we realize that our thoughts are such and such. We realize our attention is lost in these thoughts. And we recover that attention. Where too are we recovering? We are recovering our attention to the breathing. Let's say if you are seated, we are recovering our attention to the breathing. Let's say if we are walking, we are recovering our attention to the walking sensations at your feet. That is what we are doing. So usually when you sit, without you even knowing, in your mind, the usual thought patterns are fed. When you walk without you even knowing, in your mind, the usual thought patterns are fed. That is the untrained mind. But when you start training of this mind, what you do is you realize that you are lost in these thoughts. You realize that you are indulging these thoughts. With that realization, you recover your mind and you return it to the breathing sensation. This very process is the practice of mindfulness. Don't think that your mind should stay with a single object. That is not the very practice. Instead, we realize that we have gotten lost, and time after time, we return our attention back to the breathing, back to the walking sensations, back to the bodily sensations during our daily activities. So that is the very training. Not only once, not only twice, but for many times, time after time, we realize that we have gotten lost. With that realization, we return our attention back to a bodily sensation. That is the very practice that we are doing. And when you do this, what happens is, usually earlier, when you are not training your mind, earlier, you keep on feeding those various indulgences, various addictions, let it be food, let it be social media, whatever. You keep on feeding those addictions. Without you even knowing, in your mind, these addictions are fed. But when you do this training, what happens is you are preventing this feeding mechanism. You recover your mind from it time after time. And when you do this, it's natural that those thoughts, they lose their energy. Those addictions, they lose their energy. It won't happen overnight, but you have to keep doing it for a while. Maybe within a few months, you realize now those addictions are not so strong. Now those thoughts are not so strong. That very change will happen. Because you are not feeding them as the way you used to feed them. Right? Earlier you fed them a lot. Now you are not feeding them so much. It's natural those thoughts become weaker without the proper feeding. Right? So that's how you are recovering your mind. That's how you are training yourself to know the proper balance. Right? We are not suggesting that, let's say, you have a food addiction. We are not suggesting that you should starve yourself. We are not suggesting that you should refrain from eating anything. That's not the very idea. Go out and enjoy a meal once in a while. That's fine. But knowing your limit, that's the important thing. If you know how to recover your mind from these things, if you have trained yourself with that, then it will be much easier for you to recover your mind and know the proper balance in these things. You still get to enjoy. You get to enjoy for a longer period with the proper amount. That is the very idea. Now, again, revisiting that drinking analogy. If that person keeps on gulping down drinks, what will happen? Within few minutes, they get wasted and they get blackout, right? Next day, they wake up with a worse hangover. But if they know the balancing act, if they know their limit, then what will happen is they get to enjoy for many hours. Even at the end of the party, still they know what is happening. Still they have that balanced level of high, right? So that's the very idea. Drink, but don't get drunk. That's the very idea. And so many things in your life, let it be food, let it be social media, let it be spending time with other people, whatever. You should know this balance. Too much of anything is not good. That's the very idea. So if you get too much drunk with food, then the consequences will happen. If you get too much drunk with the social media, it's not good for your health. If you get too much drunk with other things, other desires, then it might destroy the family that you have built for so many years. Right? So those type of things are there. You should know that proper limit, you should understand that proper limit. In order for you to understand, you have to train your mind with mindfulness. A trained mind is a balanced mind. It knows its thoughts. The mind doesn't try to get rid of those thoughts. But still, the mind is able to return the attention back to the present moment. That is the very idea. Those thoughts could be there. Our tendencies, they won't vanish suddenly. Our biases, they won't vanish suddenly. they will be there, but they will be under control. For example, let's say those type of like sexual desires. Let's say if you have had sexual desires in your mind for so many years, it doesn't matter whether you start practicing, those thoughts will be there. You are thinking about them, you remember historical things, you plan future, you think about various people. That way, the mind is at work. But when you start practicing mindfulness, you start to realize these processes more and more. And suddenly this person come and complain, I have been fine so far, but with this practice, now I have so much sexual desire. That is not the case. Earlier also you had those desires, but now only it is shedding light on them. Now only you are realizing that I have so many thoughts, so many sexual desires in my mind. That realization is a good thing. Most practitioners, most newcomers, they think this realization is a bad thing. No, no, that's not the case. It is a good thing that you realize the status of your mind. With that realization, let them be. Let those thoughts be. It is fine. But you know how to recover your mind to the present moment. That knowing is there. You know how to recover it. You have trained yourself with it. And naturally, the mind recovers. When you train your mind for a while, you start to realize naturally your mind is able to recover. Now you don't have to intentionally practice, but the practice is guiding your mind. That's the very idea. So still the thoughts, those sexual desires could be there, but let them be. That's fine. As long as you are aware, it's fine. Right? We can't get rid of those biases in our minds. It won't happen overnight. What we do is we shed light on them. We understand these type of thoughts are there in me. That very awareness, that very understanding is what we need. Otherwise, you will be blindsided to these thoughts, to these desires. That is not good. That is not healthy. But if you know that they are there, that very knowing will protect you. Okay, so you have to make sure that you train yourself, you train your mind, and in that training, you get to realize many more things, many more sides, many more shapes of your mind. Maybe even earlier you haven't felt them, you haven't understood, you haven't experienced, but with the help of the practice, you realize many more shapes and shades of your mind. I have these type of thoughts in me. I have these type of emotions in me. I recall these past incidents frequently. All those things are different shapes and shades of your mind. Let them be. Let them be under the light of awareness. That is the very idea. So when you train yourself, you will know your desires. Those desires will be there. And every now and then you can give in to those desires. It's fine. The practitioners, they don't have to live a life of restraint all the time. They know their balance. With that balance, they can, you know, enjoy life. That's the very idea. They can give in to those desires every now and then, knowing those desires. They can go out and enjoy a delicious meal every now and then, knowing that I am giving into these desires. That very knowing will protect you. That's the very idea. That's the very idea. So if you can find this proper balance, you get to enjoy life for a longer period. You get to enjoy the things that are given to you. Okay, so understanding that proper balance, you need a certain hours of training. That's why we say the training is important. Now, let's say 10,000 hours of formal practice. When we say 10,000 hours of formal practice, it sounds like a huge time. It sounds like an unattainable goal for a newcomer. But at least do 1 hour first. 1 hour of walking and sitting practice can you do within a couple of days? Start there, start with that. Then after a while, if you keep on practicing for a week, maybe you without even knowing, couple of weeks you will reach 10 hours. And if you continue like that for a few more months, you will reach 100 hours, right? And the practitioners that we know, they usually do 1.5 hours of formal practice daily. 45 minutes of walking and sitting each. They will do 1.5 hours of formal practice. And if you do 1.5 hours daily, if you do for a 1 year, how many hours you cover? And if you continue for a few years, you may reach that 10,000 level without much effort. That's the very idea. We say you have to at least train your mind for 10,000 hours, 10,000 formal hours. 10,000 sounds so big for a newcomer, for a beginner, but they have to take little steps, bite-sized pieces of mindfulness, we say. Little by little, they do their practice. And with that, without they even knowing, they reach a certain level of practice. Yeah, that's the very idea. So gradually you have to step. Step by step you have to take. And when you take that approach, in a few months, in a few years, you realize now you have developed your practice into a certain level. Now your mind is still enjoying this world. Your mind is enjoying the food. Your mind is enjoying the trip that you go, but it is not indulging in them. That is the very idea. You can enjoy the scenery, but you don't have to keep thinking about it for months. You can enjoy the food, but you don't have to bring some amount back at home. You can have all those desires in your mind, but you don't have to destroy your life with them. That very balance you will know, and you get to enjoy the life for a longer period. You get to live the life in a good manner. That's the very idea. So when you practice, you know, you will get to understand this balance. Otherwise, if you just listen to my words, it would be difficult for you to really experience the balance that we are talking. But if you practice for a while, then you get to understand this proper balance. Now, let's say even in this very program, we started a few years ago, and most of you were beginners at that time. You were new to practice. You were doubtful about the practice. But now, based on the feedbacks, based on the meditation experiences that we get, now there are many people, even in this program, who have developed into a certain level, and they understand this balance. They experience this balance. They enjoy the life. They go on trips. They live their lives. They go to work, right? All those things they do. And they are enjoying that. But they know how to recover their mind. They know how to return back to the present moment. You can enjoy the trip, but you don't have to think about it for many months. You can enjoy the food, but you don't have to think about it afterwards. Planning tomorrow's meal, you don't have to do that, right? So that very idea is important. That very understanding or the experience is important. So that way you have to gradually practice little by little. And when you practice only, you get to understand this balancing act that we are talking about, right? And earlier I mentioned about getting addicted to the company of people. Let's say even your family members, your kids, your friends, we like spending time with them. That is natural, right? Let's say a mother with a baby, right? A little child. That mother always thinks about that child. In her mind, that child occupies so much space. All her thoughts are surrounded, are directed at that child, right? So in a way, it's good. But let's say if some harm comes to that child, what will happen? The mother can't survive. Mother can't endure that pain. She'll start weeping. She'll start screaming because some harm came to that child. Right? What happens? You indulge in those thoughts. You indulge in people. And when something happens, you can't bear it. Right? So it's good that we appreciate the company of other people. But you should know that you shouldn't be indulging in them. You can talk to them, you can spend time with them, but know your limits. Getting addicted to anybody's company, not good. It's not good, right? So you can spend time with them, but know your limit. Make sure that you can survive on your own. Some alone time would be good for each and every person. Some alone time, maybe couple of hours daily. You are alone, you are spending, let's say, me time. Right? This is my me time, some people say. I have a couple of hours of me time. And that time I am not giving to my family members. That time I am reserving it for myself. Right? Let's say you have a couple of hours of alone time. And you can survive those hours. You are not keep thinking about them. You are not revisiting them in your mind. Instead, you are calm and peaceful by yourself. That very balance is important. Otherwise, we get lost in these thoughts. We think that they'll be there forever. But that the reality of the world, it begs to differ. Right? When you look at the world, when you see certain things that happen in this world, sometimes you have to part from your dear ones. That happens. That is the reality of this world. We are not talking negativity. Instead, we are talking reality. Right? So when you understand that, you should know your limit. You can spend time with them. You can, guide them. You can enjoy their company. All those things you can do. But you have to know your limit. Otherwise, if you don't know your limit, if something comes, if something bad happens, then you won't be able to survive. This very balancing is important for your life. Whatever you do, whatever the things that you spend time, it's okay, but know your balance. Know your balance. That very balancing act will allow you to enjoy this life more and more. Otherwise, when something happens, you can't bear it. You won't be able to survive. Certain desires, you give in to them too much and they will end up destroying your precious life. So those things happen if you don't know the proper balance. So this topic, it's a somewhat deep topic. It's a very nice analogy that is there in this topic. So we have to find our own balance. We have to understand this topic through the practice. That is the very idea of this session. Otherwise, we can just talk, but we won't be experiencing this balance. But I am sure now there are many people in this group who are experiencing through the practice. They know that they are enjoying their life, but they know how to, recover their mind afterwards. They go on various adventures, trips. They enjoy that time. But when they return back home, they are not thinking about those things anymore. They do the work for the family members. They spend their time. They do their part. But they have some alone time. They go and work. at the end of the day, still they feel they are refreshed without so much stress in them. They enjoy food, social media or other things, but they know their balance. They are not wasting so many hours on them, right? So that way, we have to understand this balance through the practice. You have to train yourself to understand this. And when it comes to this practice, let's say in the teachings, we hear about enlightened ones, let's say Buddha or those Arahants. When we hear about them, we think that they are not living their life. They are refraining from everything. They are not looking. They don't enjoy the food. That's not the truth. Instead, whatever they do, they live that moment to the fullest. Let's say while having their meals, they feel the taste. They enjoy that meal to the fullest. While traveling somewhere, they see the scenery. They see the surroundings. And they enjoy that scenery to the fullest. Sometimes they even write verses about them, right? They enjoy that scenery to the fullest. But afterwards, they are not thinking about it. Let's say they are seated, meditating, and their mind is at peace. When they talk to somebody, they give their full attention and, you know, live that moment to the fullest. That is the very idea. So in a way, you are lost in that moment. You are indulging that moment. But afterwards, you know how to recover your mind. Okay, so that's the very idea. I think that's enough for today. We can discuss further next time as well. With this, I'm ending today's talk. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Vante, for that. Wonderful sermon. And with that, we are moving on to the next item on our agenda, and that is the Q&A session and the time to read the reports that have been submitted. So I would like to invite Samantha to do that today. Samantha, are you there?
Yes, Tarindu.
Hi.
I'm here.
Okay. Then
thank
over
you.
To you.
Lovely. Thank you, Tarindu. And thank you, Bhante, for that wonderful talk that was really practical and to put into everyday life. So look forward to the discussion later on. So far, Bhante, Avasarai Bhante, we have one report. But before I go on to read the report, Bhante, and hello, everyone. I'd like to just remind any newcomers to the program on the basic guidance which Tarindu has, or the links Tarindu has put on the chat now on how to meditate, and program done by Nisara Navaneya, and instructions on how to submit your experiences in the report to Bhante. Bhante will then, this is a good opportunity for when you do this, Bhante will then give valuable guidance and advice how to progress in your meditation. So you can see the two helpful video links put together by Mr. Ravanir, one on mindful walking and one on mindful sitting. And you can allocate some time for the practice daily, starting with the walking meditation, and then move on to the sitting meditation, gradually building up to 2 hours per day. And as Bhante mentioned in his talk, this will be a good practice to develop, to be in the present moment and be mindful in daily activities as well. So then please submit your experiences in writing, both mindful walking and sitting to Bhante. There's an example on how to do this in the chat, how to base your report. For example, if walking, you can describe any prominent sensations, texture of the ground, pressure points on the soles, etc., and how the body weight shifted Similarly, in sitting meditation, again, you can refer to any prominent sensations, incoming and outgoing breath at the nostrils, rising of the abdomen, etc. And also you can write your mindful experiences on daily activities during the day as well. So it's just not just sitting on the cushion or walking. Then in the session, Bhante will give valuable guidance for your own practice and how to develop your meditation and progress as well. You can send the reports either in the Google form as in the link or by email using the links provided in the chat. So again, this is a very good opportunity to get personal guidance from Bhante, and you can continue with your mindfulness practice during the week according to the advice given personally for your own report during the session. And also, I would just like to remind that all the recordings of the sessions are available in the Nisaranavanaya website at the link given in the chat. Yeah. So now I'll read the report, Bhante. The first report, well, yeah, so far we've just got one. Yeah, so Avasarai Bhante. So the first one is on mindful walking. Walked indoors. Attention was on feet movement at the beginning, but it moved to the uncomfortable and heavy feeling in stomach as walking continued. Realized walking started soon after a meal. More effort used to observe body weight shifting and feet movement for a while. Movements of walking became prominent again. Although thoughts and nearby sounds arose, these would move into the background without effort. Pressure felt in the lower back and both heels ached. Walked for 1 hour. Both body and mind felt energized from walking and noted the uncomfortable feeling in stomach had reduced considerably. That's a mindful walking. Do you want me to carry on, Bhante, with the mindful sitting and the mindful during the day, or shall I, do you want to reply to that and then I'll continue with the other one?
Okay, let me reply to this part first. Now,
yeah, thank you, Bhante.
Walking soon after a meal, you feel this heavy, uncomfortable sensation, feeling at your belly, and you try so hard to focus on the feet. But when it comes to this time, this is your reality. You have just had a meal, and you feel this heaviness, right? So you don't have to suppress that reality. Instead, let it be, let those sensations be, and they grab a certain level of your attention, that is fine. But among all these things, you can maintain a certain level of attention at your feet and walk, right? So at those occasions, though, don't try to deny your reality. Instead, just know that this is my reality and just walk with it. That acceptance is important. And when you are light, maybe after a few hours when you do walking, you are light and you should be able to maintain your attention more with the feet, right? So that's the different reality at a different time, right? So these things we should know. Let's say when we are sick in our body, we won't be able to maintain that calm kind of a feeling during our practice. Why? The reality is that we are sick, right? That very reality we have to accept. So that way, when we train ourselves, it is not denying or suppressing the present moment, but it is more about accepting that present moment. Sometimes your mind is calm, sometimes your mind is all over the place. And when your mind is all over the place, if you try forcing your mind to the breath or the sensations at your feet, you might end up frustrating yourself. You might end up exhausting yourself, right? So that's why some people, when they meditate for a few hours, they feel like so exhausted. They feel like, you know, like that they have done 8-hour work shift on a heavy duty mine or something, right? That exhausted they feel. Why? They are trying to force themselves. That is not good. Instead, know the present moment, know your reality. Sometimes the mind is calm. If it is calm, of course, we can continue our practice smoothly. Sometimes your mind is in chaos. When that happens, you can't stop practicing. No, that is the reality of the present moment. Simply flow with that. That's the idea. So when it comes to those type of occasions, it's good that you train yourself just after a meal. Walking time, it's good for you just after a meal. But when the heaviness is there in the belly, you don't have to suppress it. You don't have to force yourself too much to the feet. Instead, you'll have a certain level of attention at that heaviness, and you can maintain a certain level of attention at your feet. That type of practice would be the best. Okay, now the next part, I guess.
Thank you, Bhante. The next one is on a mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion in a comfortable position. A quick body scan took place. In-breath felt cold around the nostrils, and out-breath felt warmer on the upper lip. Breath became subtle and body felt lighter. Cast noted in mind, prominent breath reappeared near nostrils. Subtle rocking motion noted. Sleepiness observed. Small gaps appeared between in and out breath. Breath broke up. Pressure in lower body noted. Sat for 45 minutes. That's the mindful sitting report, Bhante.
Is that the end?
That's on the mindful sitting. And then this person has then written about mindfulness during the day.
Yeah, we'll finish that, I think. Yeah.
Finish that bit as well. Thank you, Bhante. Mindfulness during the day. Had a busy week, but felt less worried about how things would go. Was able to watch the process of liking and disliking in mind. Both these have a wave-like movement, rising to a peak and reducing and disappearing for a while. Surprised to find small crumbs flying around while breaking slices of bread. Although doing this most mornings to feed the birds, it was only last week that the cloud of small crumbs falling around the container seen well. Tried not using the thumb as an experiment, and the slice simply fell in the container. Awareness of the body comes up naturally during household chores while standing, sitting, or walking. Range of emotions came up during work and when interacting with others. Some emotions resulted in reactions. Some had stable responses. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you, Teruan Saranai. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
Okay, when I listen to your walking, sitting and the day-to-day activities part, now this is the advantage of a trained mind. Now you have a busy day ahead of you, and usually if your mind is not trained, what happens is we stress ourselves with so many things. We think about the upcoming presentations, upcoming meetings, all those things. Then the things that you have to do at home, right? So you end up exhausting yourself. You end up stressing yourself with all those impending activities, thinking about them nonstop, right? But in your report, you mention that pressure is not building, right? Again and again, it is naturally releasing. This is the trained mind. You have trained it intentionally, but now naturally the practice occurs. The pressure builds, but soon it is released. Again, the pressure builds, but soon it is released. This way, the mind is naturally returning to the present moment. That's why you are noticing your body every now and then. You feel the breathing, you feel the walking even at the office, right? So that way, our mind knows how to recover itself naturally. And when this happens, some people think that they won't be able to do the presentations properly. They won't be able to handle the meetings properly. Why? They are not able to keep thinking about it 24/7. That's the reasoning. But thinking about it, worrying about it won't do you any good. Instead, what you have to do is you can plan yourself, you can prepare yourself, you can spend time. But the rest, you have to go with the flow and find the proper balance there. Even at a meeting, if you are attentive, if you have prepared yourself a little, then that should be enough for you to perform well. Because your mind is not stressed, it is present, it is alert. With that alertness, you can simply go with the flow and perform, right? So that type of approach would be best into our busy lives. Otherwise, you won't have enough time to plan and worry about these things. You have so many things, you don't have enough time to worry about them. And at the end of the day, you end up exhausting yourself, stressing yourself. And most things you fail because of this overstressing. Right? But the practitioners, they know that they have many things upcoming, but they don't exhaust themselves, they don't stress themselves. The pressure is building for a while, again it is releasing. Again the pressure builds, again it is releasing. This process naturally happens in them. Right? The practice kicks in and it brings your attention to the present moment. Again the pressure releases. Again the mind starts wandering about them, thinking about them, the pressure builds. But again, your attention is brought to the present moment, the pressure is released. So this way, the trained mind will face 1001 things in a day, but do them at a certain level of success. That's the very idea that is what we need for our busy lives. You won't be able to plan them or worry about them so much because you have so many things. The time won't be enough for you to worry about them. So this is the proper way. You know the present moment. You are alert and you are calm. That very preparation is the best. Your mind is alert. Your mind is calm. Whatever comes, it is ready to face them. That preparation is the best. For that to be there in your mind, you have to train yourself. In your report, we can clearly see that your mind is accepting the present moment more and more. And you will do many things in your day. Still, you'll be fine. That mind is more efficient. The mind that is present, it is more efficient. It'll be able to do many things. And still, your peace is preserved. You are not stressing yourself. That's the very idea. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Ban. Okay, that was really some valuable advice there. So that's the early report that we have. We've still got some time left, about 10 minutes. We can go on to any questions. So if anyone has any questions on their practice or on the topic that Bhante gave earlier, please raise your Zoom hand and then we'll unmute you. Questions, yeah. We have one question from Ashini. Yeah. Go ahead, Ashini.
I have a report, small report to forward. I took the tray and cup towards. First, I opened the tap and the water flow onto the tray. I felt the coldness of water. When I cleaned the tray, I felt the softness of its surface. Soap made it slippery. I felt the weight of the tray. I took the glass cup and washed it. Then I poured water into it. It weighed more than before. Washed other two metal cups as well. Glass cup was much more heavier than the metal cup. Metal cups were more slippery. I heard a slight noise when water was flowing. That's all, Vandi.
Okay, so good that you are training yourself during those daily activities. That type of approach is important. Otherwise, you think that it's only formal practice that you have to do this, and you try to do many hours of formal practice in a day. That's not proper. Instead, you have other things to do. You have to live your life. Among all these things, you can be mindful. You can approach each and every activity as meditation. If you know the proper practice, that is possible. Let's say even in your daily things, you have to do, take care of your work, and sometimes travel, go to work. All those activities could be done mindfully, so the working hours won't be so stressful. Instead, it would be another type of meditation when you know this proper balance. So in a way, it's good to put you in a difficult situation and see how you are managing yourself. Because most people, they can be peaceful at home, but when they go outside, they are not so much peaceful. They can be peaceful in a monastery, but when they go to a city, their peace is not protected. So that type of approach is not the proper practice, no? Then you'll always have to stay at home. If you want peace, you have to stay at home. If you want peace, you have to stay at a monastery. That's not proper. If your peace is proper, whether you are at home or whether you are at work, you will be peaceful. If your practice is correct, whether you are at a monastery or whether you are in Colombo, you will be peaceful. That's the very idea of the practice. So this approach is good. Try to exercise it. Put you into some stressful, difficult situations and see whether your peace is protected. Otherwise, you know that your practice is not proper. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Ashini, for that question. Let's just see. Anyone else have any questions? Let me just have a look. Can't see any, Bhante. But I suppose while we are waiting for some questions, Bhante, I was just thinking, so from the talk Bhante gave, that was very valuable, how we can, so when we have cravings of, like, say, for example, eating sweet things, like if you want to eat chocolate cakes, etc. So each time we have craving, we can acknowledge that desire to have that, whatever is in the mind, and then we bring the awareness, focus, change it to the breath, or walking, or say for the breath, and in, train the mind that way. So in doing so, each time we do that, I suppose we're breaking the habit. If you're being mindful in the present moment, rather than just go out there and just eat and, you know, give in to the craving. So gradually we going back to the breath and acknowledging the craving, so we're reducing that habit. Would that be correct in saying that, Bhante? And do we need to use a yonasi manasikara or wise reflection as well alongside that, Bhante?
Samantha, can you present that question again? I miss a certain
Yeah,
part.
no, I
I
was
don't.
just yeah, I was just wondering, Bunty, from going on from the talk that you gave this morning, that was really valuable. So to have a balanced mind, so that we don't give in to our have a limits, and we don't give in to our craving and thoughts proliferations. Each time we have a, say, for example, a craving for a chocolate cake or something, we would just acknowledge that we have that desire. Of course, if you want it, you can eat it mindfully. But if you don't, if it's just a thought, you can just accept it and then go to your breath, for example, and train like that. So in doing so, you're taking your thoughts away from the craving, and then you're breaking that, lessening the craving, the habit, I suppose, of just if you're unmindful, you just go and just get the cake and just eat it. So when you're doing that, do you need to actually think about it as well, have some wise reflection at the same time, that this is unwholesome and the consequences of eating too much and that sort of thing? That's what I was just
Okay,
wondering,
yeah.
Bante. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got it. Thanks. Now, let's say you have a certain desire to eat something. You can go and eat it, that's fine. But the problem that you're asking is if it becomes an addiction, right? All the time you can't eat chocolate cake, no, that's not good for your health, right? So every now and then you can enjoy it, it's fine. But rest of the time, let's say your mind is always thinking about chocolate cake, right? That those thoughts are there. So just acknowledging them, being aware of them is the way. Let's say you are aware, but you don't bring your attention back to the breathing. That too is fine in the practice of mindfulness. The beginners won't understand this. They think that they have to bring their attention back to the breathing all the time. That is not necessary. As long as you have awareness, you are protected. You are aware that these desires are there. Repetitively, they are coming, but you are aware. That very awareness is the process. That very awareness will not feed those desires as much, right? So that is the very idea. And this is the very wise reflection that you're talking about. Nothing else. You are doing it. You are doing the wise reflection when you do this. That is what you need, right? So you can live your life, live the moment, enjoy the meals. Don't try to, reject the meal that you are having. Don't try to think some bad way about the meal. Like thinking that these thoughts are unwholesome while eating something, it is torture, no? Instead, when it comes to mindfulness, we are saying that while having your meal, enjoy it fully. It is okay. But when you finish your meal and get up, you shouldn't be thinking about eating all the time. Instead, you should be able to bring your attention to the whatever the task that you are doing. That approach is the best one. Otherwise, while eating our meals, we hate ourselves for eating. We think that this is unwholesome eating something. No, that's not the case. You need food. How can it be unwholesome? You have to make sure that you are living the moment. That's the very idea. So in a day, you won't be eating all the time, no? Whenever you eat, you can live that moment. When you do other things, try to live in those moments. That way you can continue your practice. Try and see.
Lovely. Thank you, Bhante. That's very helpful advice, to be mindful and in the present moment. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, we've actually approached 10 o'clock now. So I'll hand over back to Tharindu to end the session. Tharindu, is that okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Samantha. Thank you very much for conducting the Q&A and reading out the reports and yes, sharing. your thoughts as well. So with that, we have come to the end of the program, the end of the 154th session of Mindfulness for Beginners. So I would like to thank Venerable Dhammakusala Thero for his continued guidance for this program, joining all the way from Nisannavane. And also we cannot forget Chief Abbot of Nisannavane, Venerable Dhammajiva Thero, for initiating this program. And I would like to thank all those who joined today on Zoom and via Facebook Live as well. And I would, as always, like to thank everyone who helped us to organize this program behind the scenes. Okay. So until we meet again next week, I would like to wish you a mindful week ahead. And thank you for joining today. Let's see you all again next week. Thank you.